Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on Pei Daled Amud Aleph. The Mishnah really is a continuation of the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah gave us the principle that it opened with, which is Mizbeach Mikadesh et Ra'ui Lo. Mizbeach Mikadesh, those things that belong on it, or that are appropriate to be on it. And then we had the Machlokot in the Tanaim as to what is the defining factor as to what is Ra'ui for the Mizbeach. Through that, we define which items that if they are Pasul, but end up on the Mizbeach, Imalu Lo Yireit. They go on the Mizbeach, we do not take them off the Mizbeach. And here, the Mishnah gives you a list of that. Now, the Baal Tosafot yesterday already said, when the Gemara asks, what do you mean, ha-ra'ui lo? We have a list of items that are coming up in the Mishnah, and that could be what is coming to be might. The Baal Tosafot said, no, the Gemara wants to know what that phrase means outside of this Mishnah. But this Mishnah has a definition of items that are included, and items that are excluded. And the items that are included, elu, imalu, lo yerdu. These are items, if they end up on the Mizbeach, you do not take them off the Mizbeach. Again, right away on the top, Tosafot, he says, Afa gav detani elu, even if those that says these, which seems to be an exclusive term, that this is the exhaustive list that we have, nevertheless, Tana v'shier, this is not an exhaustive list, this has exceptions in it, and there are others that are not included in that, including a bright that we're going to see in the Gemara that adds in additional items. And so this is a representative list, but not necessarily an exhaustive list. Although Tosafot at the end tries to backpedal a little bit and say maybe these are broader categories, and that some of the other items that we add in are subcategories or under rubric of some of the items that are mentioned here, and then it might be an exhaustive list. So the examples are halan, something that was left over. It was left past the time that was appropriate for it. So you have dam or imurim that were left past their expiry time, and then they ended up on the mizbeach. Hayutzei, something that went out of the limitations in which it is confined. So that would be the azara for the imurim or for the dam. Vatameh, something that became tameh. So that's a grouping, which is lan, yotzei, and tameh. These are all items that take place post the kapara. These are items that take after the zrikat adam is done. And then you have a psul that comes into the korban post the primary aspect of the kapara being accomplished. But then we have other examples. Shenishchat, chutz lizmano, uchutz limkomo. So here you have a psul that enters in before the zrikat adam in a situation in which you do the shchita as pigul, chutz lizmano, makshevet chutz lizmano, or makshevet chutz limkomo, both of which are pusel, the korban. Nevertheless, if that korban ends up on the mizbeach, even though it wasn't supposed to, imalu. If it's there, lo yereit. They're not going to come off the mizbeach. So then, that's a psul that happens even before the zrikat adam. Vishikiblo v'usulim v'zarku et damo. And so here's something even more extreme. Not only does it fail before the zrikat adam, it's not even processed by kohanim. It's being processed by people who are zarim or psulim. We'll see what exactly the psulim mean over here. And they did the zrikat adam or the kabbalat adam, which you might have thought makes it completely pasul to the point where it has no relevance. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says, imalu, lo yerdu. If these items end up in the Mizbeach, even though they're not supposed to, nevertheless, we will leave them on the Mizbeach. We don't take them off the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda now makes a statement, something that we saw earlier in the Masechta, shenishchat balayla, an animal that was shechted at night. We know that the avoda and the mikdash is to be done during the day, beyom tzavuto. So we do the shechita at night, which is a shechita psula, or nishbach dama, or the dam of the korban was spilled, or v'yatza dama chutz l'klayim, or the dam of the korban was taken outside of the limitations in which it is kept, which is the azara. Imalta tereid. In any one of these three instances, if they go up on the mizbeach, tereid, they're going to come off the mizbeach. These are not psulim that are allowed to go on the mizbeach. And if they do end up on the mizbeach, you're going to take them off the mizbeach. So Rabbi Yehuda here has a list of three. We'll discuss what exactly that list of three derives from, and then try to understand how limited is this position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says, lo tereid, they don't come off the mizbeach. These three items that Rabbi Yehuda says do come off the mizbeach, Rabbi Shimon says, they don't come off the mizbeach. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, so Rabbi Shimon here declares the principle, kol shepsulo bakodesh, hakodesh mikabelo. Anything where the psul is in the kodesh accepts it. Lo haya psulo bakodesh, if the psul was not in the kodesh, ain hakodesh mikabelo, then kodesh does not accept it. In essence, that means that if the psul happened bakodesh, then the mizbeach is mikadeshit. And therefore, if it ends up on the mizbeach unintentionally or accidentally, it will not be taken off the mizbeach. As opposed to shaloya psula bakodesh, there, the Mizbeach is not to Mikadesh that item, and therefore if the item ends up in the Mizbeach, we will take it off of the Mizbeach. Now this terminology of Koshe Psula B'Kodesh, this is not the first time that we've seen it in the Masechta. We saw it back on Daf Samech Chet, where we discussed over there the issues of Tumat Nevela of Tahor, and there it says, Zaklau, Koshe Psula B'Kodesh, Enu Mitame B'Beit HaBliyah. Anything where something goes wrong with the Korban, with regards to Psula B'Kodesh, then that's not deemed to be a Nevelat of Tahor, and therefore if you consume it, you won't have Tumat Beit HaBliyah. Loya Psula B'Kodesh, if the Psula was not in the Kodesh, then Mitame Beit HaBliyah takes on the shame of Nevelat of Tahor, and if you consume it, then you'll be Tamei from Tumat B'Liyah. So there you have the same structure or same delineation. The question is, how correlated are these Mishnayot? The Balei Tosafot back on Samachet Amud Aleph basically say, Ulechora kulu matnitin Rabbi Shimon. This Mishnah back on Samachet must be authored by Rabbi Shimon because it's bringing this terminology that's found in the Mishnah on Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. And in Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, it's said in the name of Rabbi Shimon, not as a generic statement. Rabbi Huda disagrees with that. So that would imply that the Mishnah on Samachet that uses that same terminology must be authored by Rabbi Shimon because it's basically his principle that he lays out. But then the Tosafot backs away a little bit from that because he says that the Mishnah on Samachet does not comply with all of the positions of Rabbi Shimon, including the fact that Rabbi Shimon allows, when something's done with the left hand, that it is a kosher melika. And therefore, he can't really be the author of the Mishnah. The Tosafot comes to a compromise to say that the Mishnah on Samachet is authored by a Tano that subscribes to Rabbi Shimon with regards to Koshe Psula B'Kodesh, but does not subscribe to Rabbi Shimon with regards to Malikat Smol, which he says is Ksheira. That's just, first of all, you have to reconcile between the Mishnah on Samachet and the Mishnah over here. It's possible that the terminology, even though it is the same, might reference to different items or a different qualification. And you could separate between the two of them, although the Balei Tosafot sees them as being a singular unit, and therefore says that Samachet Amud Aleph must have been authored by Rabbi Shimon. The other thing you have to decide about is what does it mean, Koshe Psula B'Kodesh? What is the definition of that? You can look in Rashi over here. Rashi says, Sheyo Psula B'Kodesh, Mishapat Le'Azara Nifsala. That once it entered into the Azara, that's when the Psul happened. So Rashi says it's a location trigger, which is until it reaches the Azara, that's called O Psulo Sheino B'Kodesh. Once it's in the Azara, that's called Psulo B'Kodesh. That's Rashi's definition over here. So Tosafot back on Samachet Amud Aleph quotes the Rashi from here on Pei Dalet, and then he disagrees the way that Rashi explains it, and he gives two alternative explanations as to what Psulo B'Kodesh is. The first one he says, Haga, nearly the Perush, the Koshe Psula B'Kodesh, Hainu Koshe Psulo Kasher B'Alma B'Kodesh. One possibility is that this is something that otherwise is Kasher in Kodesh, meaning that we find manifestations of it that are Kodesh. Happens to be in this instance, it is Pasul. So that's one explanation, which is, you can't find times where this would be Kasher. It happens to be in this instance, it's not Kasher. That would be Psula B'Kodesh. That's one explanation the Balei Tosafot will bring. And that really leans heavily on what we're going to see in the Amud Bet today. This idea that many of the items that we are seeing, imalu, lo yerdu, have manifestations at some point or some place or some time where they are ksherim. Otherwise, he brings a second interpretation, which is his primary interpretation, and that's the one that he references to here on our daf, and tells you to go back to Samachet Amud Bet and see what he said there. He says, the qualification is anything that's nitkadesh b'kli sharet. Once it's nitkadesh b'kli sharet, or b'kedushat kli, that's what makes it psulo b'kodesh. Before it has kedusha b'kedushat kli, that's kosh psulo she'eno b'kodesh. But if it has kedusha b'kedushat kli sharet, that becomes psulo k'kodesh. Now, he points out, there's a psul in shechita here, and that doesn't involve any kli sharet. But what Tosafot suggests is that the sakin is mikadesh through the shechita. That's something that's discussed by the Balei Tosafot at the beginning of Ezehu Mekoman with regards to what exactly is the role of the sakin and how it's mikadesh the animal and whether it's considered to be a kli sharet. But over here he suggests that it is considered to be a clay kodesh at least, and therefore it has consideration of being psulo bakodesh. So as long as the psul happens after it's already been put into a kli sharet, or after it's been engaged by clay kodesh, that's when it's considered to be psulo bakodesh. If it's something that happened prior to that point in time, that's Eim Psulo B'Kodesh. Those are the two possible explanations that the Balei Tosafot give back on Samachet Amud Bet. Rashi over here says again that it's related to the Anichnas Le'Azara, the other possible explanations brought by the Baal Tosfot and Nida, brought by some of the Achronim over here as well, and to me seems to be the most logical explanation of it, which is that Psula Bakodesh means that it's a psul that's uniquely associated with the status of the animal being Kodesh, meaning that it's not something that is problematic irrespective of the animal being Kodesh. For instance, Roveya Nirba, bestiality, is something that's a problem for the animal irrespective of whether it's Hekdesh or it's not Hekdesh. So that's Davar She'im Psula Bakodesh. That's something where the psul doesn't happen because of the Kedusha of the animal. On the other hand, you have things like Yotze, things like Machshava. All of these things are uniquely associated with being in the world of Hekdesh, being associated with being a Kodoshim. And those Psulim are Psula Bakodesh because the fact that it is a Korban, or that it is Kodesh, is what contributes to the problem over here, why there is an issue with the Psul that you have. There's different nuanced formulations of that, and many suggest might be what Rashi is saying over here as well. When Rashi says that it's Baal Azara, it's not talking about the physical location of the Azara when it comes into the Azara, but rather that once it enters into the Azara, not that it's physically in the Azara, but it's now engaged in parts of the Avoda, meaning that you've started the Avoda. So that's another nuanced way to formulate it, which is that once you're in the process of doing the Avoda, if a psul arises then, that's Psula Bakodesh. But before you engage the animal in the Avoda that happens, as Rashi says here, once you enter into the Azara, then that's called Psula She'enu Bakodesh. So those are a number of different ways to express this definition that Rabbi Shimon gives over here for determining whether an item, when it goes Psul, Imalu, if it goes on the Mizbeach, Lo Yerdu, it won't come off, that's when it's Psula Bakodesh. As opposed to, if Psulo She'enu Bakodesh, then Imalu, Yerdu, you're going to take them off the Mizbeach. So Ve'elu, Shlo Ayu, Psulim Bakodesh. These are the items that are not Psulan Bakodesh. These are examples of items which are not permitted to be put on the Mizbeach, and if they're put on the Mizbeach, you're going to take them off. Haroveya Vanirba, an animal where bestiality was performed with the animal. Hamukse Vanevat, something that was designated for Tekrovet Avodah Zarah, or something that was worshipped. Vahetnan, something that was exchanged for the services of a zonah. Vahmechir, mechir kelev, it was bartered for a dog. Vahakilayim, a mixed breed. Vahatrefa, something that has one of the trefot that would make it into a trefa. Vahyotze dofen, an animal that is born not through the birth canal, but through a C-section. Ubale mumin, and animals that have blemishes in them. All of these items don't belong on the Mizbeach, and if they do go on the Mizbeach, they do not remain on the Mizbeach, they are taken off the Mizbeach. Rabbi Kiva makshir babalei mumim. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, says, balei mumim, if they end up on the Mizbeach, then they do not come off. Obviously, Rabbi Kiva does not believe that you put balei mumim lechatchila on the Mizbeach, but rather, if they do end up on the Mizbeach, you don't have to take them off. What type of mumim we're speaking about, we've already discussed with Rabbi Kiva. These are mumim that are the differentiated mumim between birds and behemot. Birds are mechuser eiver. Behemoth have other mumim besides Mechuser Eiver, like Dokin, Shabayin, cataracts, other less visible, less pronounced types of mumim. And that's where Rabbi Kiva says his din, that if it's one of those mumim that's less pronounced, because it's Kashir Ba'oth, therefore, if it goes on the Mizbeach, Imalu, Lo Yerdu, you won't take it off. Rabbi Hanina Skana Kohanim Omer, Doche Haya Abba Et Bale Mumim Me'al Gava Mizbeach. So here you have testimony from someone who was actually there. It's similar to what we have in the Gemara in Psachim, the Mishnah, at the end of the first parak, Rabbi Hanina B'Skana Konim describes his memories or experiences with regards to the Mikdash. And here he's speaking about what his father did in the Mikdash. Rabbi Hanina B'Skana Konim Omer, Duche Haya Abba Et Bale Mumim Al Gavei Mizbeach. That he used to knock off or take off Bale Mumim from the Mizbeach. That seemingly is supportive of the view of the Rabbanon. Now, Kishim Shimalu Lo Yerdu, just like if these items end up in the Mizbeach, they don't come off the Mizbeach. Meaning that even though they shouldn't be on the Mizbeach, but once they're on the Mizbeach, the Mizbeach is mikadesh them, and therefore they don't come off. Kach im yardu, if they descended, they came off the Mizbeach, lo yalu, you don't replace them on the Mizbeach. That's somewhat strange, because once the Mizbeach is mikadesh them, then why isn't that make it that once they come off the Mizbeach, you have to return them? Once the Mizbeach has already captured them, bikdusha, that kedusha should then facilitate not only the fact that if they're on, don't take them off, but also if they came off, you should be able to put them back on. But you see from here is that the Mizbeach Mikadesh is really a conditional type of Kedusha. It means that as long as you're still attached to the Mizbeach, then the Mizbeach is Mikadesh you. And therefore you don't come off. So if you're on there, you stay on. But if you come off, then we're not going to put you back on, because then the Mizbeach is no longer acting to be Mikadesh, meaning that it's not a Kedusha that is then passed to the item. It makes it inherently Kadosh. It's its association with the Mizbeach that makes it Kadosh. And as soon as you lose that association, then it's no longer Kadosh, and therefore if it comes off, lo yalu, you don't put it back on. Bikulan, shalu chayim l'rosh ha-mizbeach. All these items, if they're brought live to the top of the Mizbeach, yerdu, they'd be taken off the Mizbeach. Meaning all the psulim that we noted here, if the animal is still alive, before you shechted the animal, this psul is there, then the Mizbeach is not mekadeshit while it's still alive. Mizbeach is mekadesh these items when they are already past the point of shechita, past the point of a certain amount of processing of the korban. But if the korban is yet to be processed, it's a live animal, over there, if it's up on the Mizbeach, it comes off the Mizbeach. There's no Mizbeach mekadesh in that scenario. And we noted that yesterday with regards to the limud of Ola and Kvasim, that we learned from the word Ola to teach you that when the Kvasim are alive, they don't have these dinim of being ra'uy le Mizbeach. They're not appropriate for the Mizbeach, and that's why they will come off the Mizbeach. Ola, shalta chaya l'rosh ha-Mizbeach. An Ola that is taken alive onto the Mizbeach, teret, you're going to bring it back down. The simple way to read this part of the Mishnah is that this is Ola that has nothing wrong with it. It is a perfectly good Ola that goes to the top of the Mizbeach. You want it to shecht it there, you're going to do whatever you're going to do over there. We take it off the Mizbeach. There it is, the Mizbeach is not Mikadesh, a live animal. Now, even though we know that the top of the Mizbeach might be okay for doing Shechita, despite that fact, we don't allow you to do Shechita on a Mizbeach. If you've done it on the Mizbeach, it will be a kosher Shechita, but we won't let you do that lechatchila on the top of the Mizbeach. Whether that's a psul midrabanan or a psul d'oraita, the Bali Tosafot back on Nunchet Amud Aleph, if you remember over there, it said that the reason that we may not allow you to shecht the animal on the Mizbeach is because Shema Yarbitz Gilalim, because it might defecate there on the top of the Mizbeach. And therefore the Bali Tosafot say, V'Shema Yenakat D'Diavad Midrabanan, Shelo Yarbitz Gilalim. He thinks that the restriction against shechting the animal on the top of the Mizbeach is only a Din D'Rabanan, but from the Limud in the Gemara, and from those of the Midrashei Halacha, it looks more like it's a Din D'Oraita, that you're not allowed to shecht it on top of the Mizbeach. So there is a restriction from shechting on the top of the Mizbeach, whether the Oraita or the Rabbanan, and therefore you're going to take it off the Mizbeach. We don't say the Mizbeach is Mekadeshit, that you can't take it off. That all assumes that what we're speaking about here is an Ola, and an Ola Tmima, that is a kosher animal. The Gemara in tomorrow's daf will tell us that that's not what the Mishnah is speaking about, that it's actually speaking about an Ola that was a Balat Mum. And it's, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's a Mum that is not so significant, and then you brought it onto the Mizbeach, then you take it off the Mizbeach. So that's what the Gemara reads this line of the Mishnah as referring to, although Peshtut is speaking about a perfectly fine animal, an Ola Tmima. The other thing to note over here is that the Mishnah uses the term Ola as a representative term. That's because the source in the Pasuk for all this comes from the word Ola, but that doesn't mean that it's exclusive to an Ola. It applies to all Korbanot or all Kodoshim equally as to an Ola. The Tosafot yesterday raised an issue with regards to that. He says, "Ma'lo yeria, tzareich ledaktek b'kulish maitin." He says, all of the Gemara here and these Mishnayot, it's strange, the Rabbin and Kol Rekamanot, Avagav dechtiv Ola. Even though the Psukim say Ola, we automatically assume that it refers to all Korbanot. It's unusual in Kodoshim to do such a thing. By Kodoshim, we take every word very particularly, and we know that the Gzeirat HaKetuv is not expandable or extrapolable, because everything is a Gzeirat HaKetuv. So here, all of a sudden, you have the word Ola, and we're saying that it applies to all Korbanot. But the Bayit Tosfot leave that as just as a Tzarechiyun, because it seems strange that they use the word Ola, and we have no other reboy to say that it extends beyond the Ola itself. Although that might relate to the fact that the source in the Psukim is in the Pasuk in Shumat Deshen, and there it's referencing to Ola Makdal Mizbeach, that the Ola there might be a reference to the Mizbeach HaChitzon, or Ola just means something that generates ashes on the Mizbeach, or generates Deshen on the Mizbeach. So maybe because it's used in a more generic sense, not to mean literally Ola, but anything that's Oleh al Mizbeach, and that's why maybe they're interpreting it in a broader sense. Now the last line of the Mishnah, Shachata B'Rosh Mizbeach. If he did the Shechita on the top of the Mizbeach, even though he shouldn't have done it there, but he did do it there, and it's a kosher Shechita, Yafshit V'Yinetchena B'Mkoma. At that point, the Mizbeach does grab it, and you do the flaying of the animal, and the quartering of the animal, you know, that's an Ola, the Ivarim go on the Mizbeach. You don't take it off the Mizbeach at that point to do all that processing. The processing done at the top of the Mizbeach, and it goes straight onto the Mizbeach. We don't remove it from the Mizbeach once the Shechita is performed at the top of the Mizbeach. Now the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Zot hi ha'ola. So that is the Pasuk that we've been referencing to a long time at the Rambam ben Avli Mor, Zot Torat Ha'ula, Hi Ha'ula Amukta Al Mizbeach. So here you have a number of terminologies that are what we call Mi'utin. That's Zot. Zot means this and not other things. You have Ha'ula, and Tosafot focuses on the Hei Ayidia of Ha'ula. He also notes it's the second time the word Ha'ula appears in the Pasuk, because it says Zot Torat Ha'ula, that Ha'ula is not extraneous, but it's Hi Ha'ula. That Ha'ula is what it's referencing to over here. And the word He is also an exclusivary term. It and not anything else. That's why Tosafot yesterday rejected Rashi, explaining that he is Bahaviyatan Tehei, that is the source for the fact that the Mizbech is Mikadesh, and Imalu lo Yerdu, because he says, the Gemara here says the word he is a miut. So you have here three miutin. Zot, he, and ha'ola. And, as Rabbi Yehuda explains here in the Braita, Zot, he, ha'ola, ha'ireilu gimu miutim. These are three exclusionary terms. Prat, they come to exclude three things. Three things that Rabbi Yehuda mentioned in our Mishnah, that they are yerdu. You will take them off. Prat, nishchata b'laylo, something that shechted at night. Vishenishpachtama, or the blood was spilled. Vishiyatza dama chutz liklaim, or the dam was taken outside of the limitations in which it is to be kept, which is outside the azara. Shimalta, any of these items that they end up in the mizbeach, teret, they're going to come off the mizbeach. Now, what is unique about these three items? You have tons of items that you could have picked from. How does Rabbi Yehuda know that these are the three items that are excluded by these mi'utim? So Rashi gives you an explanation. He says, u'mistaber, it's logical, dahane, mima'it, that these are the items that he excludes. Shipsulan lifnei zrika. These are psulim that happened before the zrikat adam. These are psulim that happened before the primary kapara is attained. If you think that a psul happens after the primary kapara is attained, you can understand why that if it went on the mizbeach, you may not take it off because the korban worked in the end. Over here, these are psulim that make it that the korban doesn't work at all. It's a psul from the outset. It is something that never gains any shata kosher, as we would say, because it never attains the level of kapara. And so for that reason, we are excluding these three items. That's how Rashi explains it according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what is the view of Rabbi Yehuda? How limited is the view of Rabbi Yehuda? So if you look in the Balei Tosafot here, and I'll show you in other places in Shas, think that Rabbi Yehuda's view is much broader than that which is said here. If you look in Prat Shenishchata Balayla, to exclude Nishchata Balayla, so Tosafot says right over there, Rovea, Vinirba lo tzricha miuta lo Rabbi Yehuda. Vinirba, he says clearly, Rabbi Yehuda believes they don't go on the mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda never said that, but he's saying that Rabbi Yehuda believes not only are these three things excluded, but all the things that Rabbi Shimon and the Mishnah said were excluded because they're ain psulan bakodesh. Rabbi Yehuda agrees to that list there. Ani demrabi Rabbi Shimon rabbi nami Rabbi Yehuda, and everything that Rabbi Shimon includes, so does Rabbi Yehuda. Umistaber laharubot hani tfei mishum. And how do we know which items to bring in and which items to exclude? He says, because these items, we find hechshera. That's going to be, we're going to find on the second half of today's daf, that these items have manifestations in Kodesh that are ksherim. But certain of these items are psulim through and through. And that's what Tosafot says. That's why these three are excluded over here. But there are other items that Rabbi Yehuda would agree to exclude. We're going to bring another breita in a second. It says, anitenim lamalash, anitenan lamata, the next Balei Tosafot, which are other things that are ksherim according to Rabbi Shimon. B'chohani moda Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda also agrees to all of these items. So Tosafot over here says that Rabbi Yehuda's exclusion of three items is not really three items. First of all, he excludes a whole bunch of other items, the same ones that Rabbi Shimon thinks is pasul, he thinks is pasul. And then, everything that Rabbi Shimon thinks is kasher, Rabbi Yehuda also thinks is kasher. The Balei Tosafot say, what's unique about these three items? They don't have a manifestation of kashrut in any other framework. So that's why they're unique, or the way Rashi explained it over here, these are three items that are psulim, lifnei, zrikat adam. So that's the way Tosafot explains it over here. If you go back to Samachet Amud Bet, as well as Samachet Amud Aleph, the Balei Tosafot over there also says something similar with regards to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Samachet Amud Bet, he says, in the position of Rabbi Yehuda, mima'it laila, ve'afgav di'it le'akshera, even though it has a hekshir in other locations. U'smol nami, avle hekshira, u'mima'it. And also, small, using your left hand, has a hekshir somewhere else, and he's mima'it. De'ein lomar, de'lo mama'it ela gidil dvarim. Don't say that Rabbi Yehuda only excludes three things. Mishum de'tlata mi'ute ktive. Because there are three mi'utim, and that's limited, the amount of things that he is excluding, and nothing else. Da, milka zar, u'balmum te'reid the Rabbi Yehuda. V'chein shkita tarom. If all these other items, which Rabbi Yehuda thinks are also excluded and not ksherim and come off the mizbeach. So he says, you see there that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is not limited to these three items. And then in Samach Tadam and Aleph, he also says, Malika Zar lo tereid, The Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't come off the Mizbeach. Of the Rabbi Huda, Tereid, it comes off the Mizbeach. Kamo Laila, V'yotze B'darom, Davadat Dam, Lo Yilif Yehuda, Mi Bama. But what you see here is, Tosfot thinks that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is much broader. First of all, in the things that are excluded and don't go on the Mizbeach, as well as the fact that he does allow certain things to go on the Mizbeach, even though he doesn't bring any heter to show you that those things are permitted. So you have to explain within Rabbi Yehuda's position, either that Rabbi Yehuda, when he says that these three things are excluded, that means that he subscribes, like the Baal Tosfot say over here, to Rabbi Shimon Shita, that Kol Shepsulo B'Kodesh is Emalu Lo Yerdu, Kol Shepsulo B'Kodesh Emalu Terdu, but then there's an exception. Three of those items that Emalu would not come off the Mizbeach, according to Rabbi Shimon, because they are Psulo B'Kodesh, nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda, they will come off the Mizbeach. So maybe that's what the limitation of those three items is. And these are three items that are excluded, even though they are Psulo B'Kodesh. So that's one way to explain Rabbi Yehuda's Shita over here, and to expand it beyond the boundaries of the three items that he mentions over here. The other way to explain Rabbi Yehuda is like Rashi or the Baal Tosfot did over here, that either these three things are governed by the fact that they are Lifnei Zrikat Adam, and that's what makes them unusual, or that they have no hechsher anywhere else, and that's why these three items were picked by Rabbi Yehuda. Or you have to say Roveh Nirbah somehow are subsumed under the other three items that Rabbi Yehuda excludes. And those are just headlight items, those three items that are miutin, that are excluded because of the miut of the pasuk. And all these other items that are psulim are subcategories or subsets of those headers, those avot, that are explicitly stated by Rabbi Yehuda. But then that would imply that Rabbi Yehuda's shita with regards to other things is not necessarily clear or not necessarily easily ascertained, because he doesn't give us any framework in which to do that. And one of the main issues is that the shchitat darom for kodshei kodashim, which according to Rabbi Shimon is psulo b'kodesh and goes on the Mizbeach, it would not come off. For Rabbi Yehuda, he says you take it off the Mizbeach. The question is, where do you get that for Rabbi Yehuda? And that's why the Baal Tosfot back on Samachet and Samachet said, Rabbi Yehuda clearly believes that there are more than three things that are psulan. But then what you have to suggest is, and this is what Tosfot says over here, that maybe the shchitat darom of the kodshei kodeshim is the equivalent to shchitat chutz, as if you did it completely outside the Azara. And that's why it's pasul, similar to shchitat laila, where it's just done at a time when there's no relevance to the Shechitah. So if you do Shechitah outside the Azarah, nobody's going to say that's Psulo B'Kodesh. That's a completely Pasul Shechitah. That's what he suggests, that maybe that's what Rabbi Yehuda believes with regards to Shechitat Darom. That Shechitat Darom is the equivalent of Shechitat B'Chutz, and therefore it is completely disqualified over here. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda disqualifies it, even though it's not one of the three items that he mentions in our list over here. All right, now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ola, ein li elo ola ksheira. It says in the pasuk ola, that sounds like an ola ksheira, is what goes on the Mizbeach. Minayin rabot, how do I know that other things that end up in the Mizbeach, shenishchata balayla, it was shechted at night, shenishpach dama, or the blood was spilled, sheyatza dama chutz leklaim, or the blood was taken out. Those three are clearly in opposition to Rabbi Yehuda, and specifically stated to be in opposition to Rabbi Yehuda, but now he adds on additional items, valan, vayotzei, vatamei, the items that we have in our Mishnah, ושניחת חוץ לזמנו, פיגו, וחוץ למקומו, מחשבת חוץ למקומו, שגיבלו פסולים, וזרקו את דמו, הניתנים למטה, שניתנן למטלה, things that are put below the חוט הסקרה, that are instead put above the חוט הסקרה, ולמעלו, things that should have gone above the חוט הסקרה, שניתנן למטה, you put them below the חוט הסקרה, so that's where the Baal Tosfot said at the beginning of today's daf, that our Mishnah is on an exhaustive list, because here you see items that are being added by the Braita that are not mentioned in our Mishnah. והניתנים בחוץ, שנתנן בפנים, items that should have gone to Mizbeach Ritzon, instead were put on the Mizbeach HaPrimi, בפנים, those Chatot HaPrimiot, where the dam should have gone on the Mizbeach HaZahav, or inside the Echal, שנתנן בחוץ, he put them on the Mizbeach Ritzon instead, ופסח חטאת, ששחטן שלא לשמן, those are the Korbanot, where שלא לשמה is פוסל them, מניין, how do I know that all of these items, if they end up in the Mizbeach, לא ירדו, now obviously Rabbi Shimon doesn't think לחתחילה, you put them on the Mizbeach, but if they ended up in the Mizbeach, how do I know? Once they're there, they remain on the Mizbeach. Tamalomar, Torat Ha'ula. This is the Torat Ola Riba, Torah Chat, L'chol Ha'olim. There's now a Riboy that says there's one Torah, one process, one din for all those things that are Olim, that end up on the Mizbeach. Shimalu, Lo Yerdu. If they end up in the Mizbeach, they're not coming off the Mizbeach. Yoko Shanimra Beharu Veya Varnirba. You would think that, okay, anything Pasul ends up in the Mizbeach, there's a Riboy here, that it is Imalu, Lo Yerdu. That would include animals where bestiality was performed. Hamukse v'anevad, tikrovet avodah zarah, something that was worshipped. Vetnan, exchange for a harlot services. Mechir kelev, Kilayim, mixed breed, v'treifa, v'yotzei dofen, and born through a C-section. Tamalomar zolt. You have the miot of zolt in the pasuk. Ma ra'itel rabot ed elo tziyat elo. Achar shriba katu, el miyit. The pasuk is inclusive and exclusive. So now I have a reboy, which is Torah achat l'chol ha'olim. I have a miot, which is zolt. How do I know which fits what bucket? How do I know what to do? Mirabe ani et elo shaya psulan bakodesh. I include those items where the psula was bakodesh. Motziani et elo shloya psulan bakodesh. And I exclude those items shloya psulan bakodesh. And that's again what we just spent our time on explaining what exactly means the definition of psulan bakodesh and ein psulan bakodesh. Tosfot over here just qualifies one thing, and he says here at the beginning of the Tosfot, Umatziani et elo, says Bereish Perak Yotzei Dofen and Nida. There's a parallel sukya to our Gemara here, where many of the Rishonim comment on the sukya because it's found in Nida instead of in Kodoshim. So there they have Perushim on the Gemara. It says Mashma Delo Itzrich Haikra LeNifsulu K'shein Chulin. We don't need the pasuk to tell you if this happened when they were Chulin, then that's clearly precluded from this din. Ela LePsulo LaAchar SheUkdushu. It's only after they were Mukdash. So that means that there are actually three stages that an animal can be in when it becomes pasul. It can be pasul while it's chulin. It can be pasul after it's kodesh, but before it's psulo bakodesh. And then there's a third category where it's psulo bakodesh. So an animal can go through any one of those stages. That means if bestiality is performed while it is chulin, that we don't need a pasuk to exclude. That is clearly pasul, and if it ends up in his back, it's coming off the mizbeach, because you didn't have any right to be mekadesh shit to start with. Or you shouldn't have been Mekadesh to start with. Same with the Baal Mum. Baal Mum, if you're Mekadesh when it had a Mum beforehand, it's not really Kadosh Kedushat HaGuf. So all of those items are out without a Pasul. Then there's the next level, which are things that after it became Hekdesh, then the Psul happened. So that's the case here. There was Roveh Arnir Bat, after it was already Hekdesh. It had a problem of Trefa, after it was already Hekdesh. All of those items are Psulo She'enu BaKodesh. That's when it's Psulo, but it's not to do with it being Kodesh. And that is excluded from the Mizbeach, from the word Zot. So over here, the Dalei Tosfot spent time trying to figure out if all the Psulin that we just mentioned can really work when the animal's already Kodesh. For instance, how do you get Kilayim if the animal's already Hekdesh? How do you get a case of... So the Tosfot spends a lot of time trying to figure out, it's talking about an Ubar of an animal that was Hekdesh, and then when exactly does the Ubar become Kodesh? And so he comes up with scenarios trying to figure out how it could be that this is all meant in a case when the animal's already Hekdesh. One of his issues is, how do you aser hekdesh? If you worship someone else's animal, you don't make it into a nevat. You can only aser something that you own. So over here, if you worship that animal and it was belonging to hekdesh, you don't have a right to be oser it. So how do you create the isur of nevat if it belongs to hekdesh? So it does what answers the Yishlamar, Dairi B'Kodshim Kalim, Alivet the Rabbi Yossi Aglili. It's Mima Kodshim Kalim, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who believes that Kodshim Kalim are Mamon Balim. But just know that there are three different areas where an animal can come Pasul. There's one area where it's so obvious that it doesn't belong in the Mizbeach, that we don't even need a Pasul to tell you. So the next area where it's already Hekdesh, but it's not Psulo Bakodesh, there is the Pasul tells you, if it goes on Mizbeach, it's coming off. And then there's Psulo Bakodesh, which is the reboy of the Pasul, which says, that if it ends up in the Mizbeach, it will remain on the Mizbeach. So now, Rabbi Yehuda, Maiti La Mahocha. Rabbi Yehuda brings that from here. Mipnei Ma Amru, how do we know, Lan Bedam Kasher? That if the Dam goes past the expiry date, that is still Kasher, meaning if it ends up in the Mizbeach, that it is Kolet, Mizbeach is Kolet. Shere Lan Kasher Be'imurim. Because we find that there are times when the Imurim have a Kashrut to them, even though they went past the expiry date. Lan Be'imurim Kasher. How do we know that if you pass the expiry of the Emurim, that if they go on Mizbeach, they're not going to come off the Mizbeach? Shailan kasher bebasar. Because lan is also kasher bebasar. Meaning that there's an expiry date for basar that extends beyond that. If you remember, we learned this in the Gemara back on Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph. And there we explained that the expiry dates for each of these items is earlier. The expiry date for dam is shkiat hachama. Once the day passes, the dam is no longer valid. The expiry date for the Emurim, they can be on the Mizbeach all day and the following night. So the expiry time for the Emurim is Alota Shachar. The expiry time for the Basar is that you can eat it that day and that night, either to Amud Shachar, or if it's Kodshim Kalim, it's a Shlamim, it's Shnei Lamim, V'Layla Echad. So it can go even another day. So the expiry date of each of these items is further out than the first item. So that's what they're saying here. How do I know Lan Bedam, when you pass the expiry date of Shkiat HaChama, it's Kasher? Because I find another case of Lan, where it is kasher, meaning the emurim that are left past shkiat hachama, they are still okay until Amud HaShachar. And how do I know that Emurim that passed Amud HaShachar, if they end up in the Mizbeach, we're not going to take them off? Because I find Lan BeBasar. That period of time when the Emurim go Pasul after Alot HaShachar, there are times where the Basar of the Kodshim are still able to be eaten. When you have a Kodshim Kalim, that's Shnei Yamim, B'Layla Echad. So since I find a manifestation where something is kosher in this category, that means that I will be Mekil if it ends up on the Mizbeach. Not again, these items don't belong in the Mizbeach. They shouldn't go on the Mizbeach. But if they end up in the Mizbeach, since I find a manifestation other places in Kodoshim, therefore I will say that it'll stay on the Mizbeach. So now, Yotze. The same thing is true with the coming, going out of the Mechitzot that are there. Sheyotze kasher bebama. Because I find a manifestation in Ekdesh by a bama. When bamot were mutarot, there was no such din as Yotze. There were no perimeters or boundaries around a bama. So Yotze is not meaningful in that context. And so do over here. When you breach the Yotze, again, it can't go in the Mizbeach. It is Pasul. But if it does end up in the Mizbeach, it has a manifestation where it is Mutar in Hekdesh, and therefore it's going to stay on the Mizbeach and not come off. Tamei. Ho v'hutar levudat zibur. Tuma hutra b'tzibur. Tuma d'chuya b'tzibur. We find manifestations of Tuma where it is permitted in the Avodat and Mikdash. So therefore, if this item becomes Tamei, or a Tamei to the Avodah on this item, nevertheless, it will, if it ends up in the Mizbeach, not come off the Mizbeach because of that. Chutz lizmano. When it comes to pigul, machshevet chutz lizmano, hu meratzeh lepigulo. Since the korban functions in a way which looks like it is kasher, even though it's not kasher, person has a machshevet chutz lizmano, then one of the dinim that we learned earlier in the Masechta was that chutz lizmano, the rest of the korban must be processed properly. And if it's not processed properly, if there's any other psul in the korban, there's no pigul over here. There's no chutz lizmano. So what you see is that the korban is miratzeh lepigulo. The korban continues to function to get to an endpoint where it's going to generate pigul. So that means that, of course, the korban is not kasher anymore. It's pasul. The only question is, what type of psul are you going to have? If you do the remainder of the korban properly, you're going to have a psul of machshevet chutz lizmano, which comes with a punishment of karet if you consume it. On the other hand, if you have another machshevet psul before you finish it off, then the animal never becomes pigul because there's another machshevet psul besides that of chutz lizmano. So you see from that the processing of the animal has a ritzui for pigulo. It creates not a ritzui of the mizbeach, but a ritzui to generate the pigul. Because of that, it ends up on the mizbeach. We're not going to take it off. Chutz limkomo. Chutz limkomo ve'itkish to chutz lizmano. As we spent much time early in the Masechta on, that the pasuk in Parshat Tzav has both chutz lizmano and chutz limkomo in it. Or in the other day, in the pasuk in Kedoshim, but we have some correlation between chutz lizmano and chutz limkomo. What's true of chutz lizmano is also true of chutz limkomo over here. Shekiblu psulim zarku et damo. So now, when you're talking about psulim that do the kabbalat adam and did the zrikat adam, that's speaking about zarim. Zarim are never kasher for kabbalat adam and never kasher for zrikat adam. So what are you referencing to here? Barach psulei dechazu levedat etzibur. So we have psulim that could have done avodat tzibur. Or in essence, these are kohanim psulim, but they're kohanim psulim because they are tmeim. This is a kohen tamei that's disqualified from avodah. But since, in a case of tuma duchuya betzibur, tuma hutra betzibur, he might have been able to work, or if he did the avodah, it would not be pasul. But since it's maratzeh and the tuma, or the fact that it's done betzibur, is that it's hutra betzibur. Because of that, there is a manifestation when a zar, a zar here is not a real zar, it's a kohen that is disqualified or has a problem, that he can do the avodah. Since there is that manifestation, even when he does it, when it's improper, again, if this item ends up in the Mizbeach, we're not going to take it off the Mizbeach. The Gemara asks a very fundamental question, which is, V'chidanin davar shelo be'akshero, mitavar shebe'akshero. Since when do you learn something that is done properly to teach you about something that's done improperly? All the items you're saying, okay, by a bama, Yotze is fine. Of course Yotze is fine by Bama, because there's no problem with Yotze by Bama. So how can that teach you about something when you, in the Azara, where Yotze is problematic, how can that teach you that Yotze in the Azara is not a problem? What do you mean? Of course it's a problem there. How can you learn something from where it's done properly to something where it's done improperly? And so that doesn't make so much sense. This whole limud here doesn't make so much sense. The Gemara's answer is, Tana, azot Torah tola riba samichle. That this Tana is really relying on zot Torah tola, the ribui that we saw from Rabbi Shimon, meaning Rabbi Yehuda is relying on that ribui, but then he uses these items that we just mentioned here as an asmachta, a way to determine what is included and what is excluded. And so he says, if I find manifestations of these items that have kshirut within the world of Kodoshim, I'm going to say they're included under Zot Torah Ta'ula. That's the ribui that comes over here. So that ribui, we have to find some sort of qualification to determine what's included in it. And that qualification is what we did here. Those items that have a hechsher in another location. That does raise a question that the Beit Tosfot asks over here, and Rashi himself asks as well, which is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Yotze is included in Zot Torah Ta'ula, because we find Yotze by a bama. That's only true by Yotze of Basar and Yotze of Emurim. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah and in the Brayta we saw before said that Yotze Badam is one of the three items that he learned from the Miyot that is Posel the Korban. So that's what Rashi says. Aba Yotze the Dam, Posel Rabbi Yehuda. The Nafkila Tlat Psulimi Tlat Miyute. Umistavro the Miyute Yotze the Dam, Mid Nishkat Kutz Lizmano. It makes more sense to exclude Yotze from the Yotze of Dam from being Kasher than to knock out Chutz Lizmano. The Ashkenazi Ritzui Afilu Bifnim. We find sometimes when it has a Ritzui Bifnim, Shimratzel Pigulo Le'anesh Karet, because it has a Ritzui. So what Rashi basically says is that Yotze Beidam, we don't find a manifestation of that where it is Kasher. And since there is no manifestation where it is Kasher, that's why it's the right thing to pick. So Rashi now gives you another reason why Rabbi Yehuda picked these items. One already was the idea that these are items that happened before Svikat Adam. Second thing here is that Yotze Badam is something that really doesn't have a manifestation of Kashrut. Bifnim, it's only Bibama, but it doesn't have any Hekshar Bifnim. So there's a higher standard for Dam to be considered something that if it's put on the Mizbeach, it won't come off the Mizbeach. And that the Bali Tosafot ask over here as well, says Yotze de Evrei Ola Veimurim Kamar, but Yotze de Dam Pasil Rabbi Yehuda. Vim Tomar Mi Hai Taima Nami Lit Kasher Yotze de Dam. For the same reason that Yotze by Emurim and Basar are Kasherim, why don't you say that Yotze the Dam is Kasher? Yesh Lamar. And this is a very important principle that Bali Tosafot put up here. The Hekshir Dam Chamur. That allowing Dam to be okay despite a psul is a very serious matter. The Lo Yalfinim Bama. And therefore we're not going to learn it from a Bama. Im Lo Nimtza Lo Hekshir Bifnim. If we don't find a manifestation where it's Kasher Bifnim, like the case of Pigul, where we do find that it has a manifestation like that. So that's number one. Va'od Yesh Lamar. That by Bama it would be Be'akshiro, but Afagav to Be'murim, Yofinan, Shalom Be'akshiro, even though for Be'murim we're allowing you to learn from a Bama where it's Be'akshiro to a case where Shalom Be'akshiro, Me'akshiro, they rebuy Torah, Ola, Mi'u B'dam, Hi'chmir, Amatir, Lo Yofinan. By Dam, which is the Matir, we don't allow you to learn it. So Tosfot says it from two different perspectives, but he's saying the same thing. Dam is unusual. Dam is unusual because it is the Matir. Since it is the Matir, we're more machmir by Dam, and therefore we have a higher standard or higher threshold to allow Dam to be kasher. When you do something with the Dam that is pasul, we're going to have a much higher threshold to allow, if it goes on the Mizbeach, that it will remain on the Mizbeach because of the fact that it's Dam. For that reason, you can't learn it out of Bama, even though you're learning Emurim and Basar from Bama, you can't do that for Dam. And similarly, you can't learn from Hekshiro to Lo Hekshiro by Dam, even though we allow that for Emurim and for Basar. So that's an important principle that both Rashi and the both Beit Tosfot are noting over here as to why, and that Dam is different. That Rabbi Yehuda thinks that it's not kasher. If it goes on the Mizbeach, it's Yared, as opposed to Basar and Emurim that don't have that. And then Tosfot uses that to answer another question, which is that we said in the Gemara that we learn out Lan Bidam from Lan Beimurim. And we learn Lan Beimurim from Lan Babasar. So that's how the sequence went. The Beit Tosfot say, why don't you just learn Dam straight from Basar? Why do you have to learn Dam from Emurim and then Emurim from Basar? Just learn Dam straight from Basar. So the answer is because Basar is Be'akshiro. And since Basar is Be'akshiro, Emurim can be learned from it, but Dam can't be learned directly from it. So you need Emurim that are Shelo Be'akshiro, then to teach you about Dam Shelo Be'akshiro. Again, this idea that Dam has a unique standing and has a higher threshold in order to be considered, even if it goes Basol, that Alu Lo Yerdu. And Tosafot uses that also to answer why the Gemara doesn't use Bama to teach us that Chutzlim Kamo ends up in this Beach Lo Terei, because it's Kasher Be Bama, because there is no Makom by a Bama. And similarly, a Zar that works by a Bama, why doesn't that also allow us then when a Pasul does the Kabbalat Adam, Zrikat Adam, that also would be if it went on this Beach Lo Terei? Why do we have to limit it to a case where it's a Kohen Tamei because of Tuma Hutra Betzibor, Tuma Duchuya Betzibor? And Tosafot says the same thing over here with regards to these items, which is that when it comes to Dam, or the Matir of the Korban, we have a higher threshold or a higher standard. And you have to learn it, number one, from something that is Heter Bifnim, and number two is you have to learn it from something that is Shalom Be'akshiro, not from something that is Behek Shero. So you have this higher standard by the Matir or by the Dam, and that's why you see the Gemara almost avoiding all situations when you're discussing Dam, that it be learned from a Bama, or be learned from things that are considered Behek Shero. Right now the Gemara continues. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Hashochet Behema Balaila Bifnim. Someone who shechs an animal at night, Bifnim, that according to Rabbi Yehuda is Pasul, Ve'ela Bachutz. And then you bring it as a korban outside the Mikdash, Chayav. So now, what is important about this is a principle that we have about Shchitat Chutz and Male Bachutz, that the Pasuk says, V'lo hevi'o petach ha'moed, that you didn't bring it to the petach ha'moed. From there we learn, something that is kasher bifnim, if you do it bachutz, you are chayav for. But if it wouldn't have been kasher bifnim, you're not going to be chayav bachutz for it. So now Rabbi Yochanan says seemingly something that is against that principle. He says here, if you shech the behema balayla bifnim, which is what Rabbi Yehuda says is a soul in the korban, and if alu yerdu, it goes on, his mizbeach is coming off, that means that it's not ra'ui bifnim. If you have certain psulim that you can't lachatkila put on mizbeach, but if they ended up with the oven on mizbeach, it would stay there, that already makes it ra'ui bifnim. And if you do malay bachutz, you're going to be chayav for that. But over here, you don't have that. Shechita balayla is a complete disqualification, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan says, if you're maleh bachutz, you're going to be chayav for it. So first of all, clearly, this is only the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, not according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon believes that shechita balayla, if it's alu, lo yerdu. If it goes on, his bech won't come off, so that's already considered to be ra'ui the petach ha'moed. And of course, if you shechita bachutz, you're going to be chayav. But why is it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you're going to be chayav lefi Rabbi Yochanan? So he says, it's a kal v'chomer. In Parshat Achrimot, where the Easter of Shchidat Chutz and Maleh Bachutz is found, they're found there in a sequence, that there's a Chiyuv Karet for doing Shchidat Bachutz, and then doing Maleh Bachutz. Over there, the Gemara learns that if you do a Shchidat Bachutz, and then you Maleh what you Shechted Bachutz, you're going to be Chayav for being Maleh Bachutz. Well, when you do a Shchidat Bachutz, it's clearly not Ra'oi Bifnim anymore. You can't do use that in the Mikdash. Yet you're still Chayav for being Maleh Bachutz. That's what he says. Lo tehe pechuta mishochet bachutz. Shechting it at night in the Mikdash is no worse than shechting it outside the Mikdash. Both of those are psulim, and so maleh bachutz should be chayav. Meitiv Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, ashochet of bifnim. Someone does shechita on an oaf inside the Mikdash, umaleh bachutz, and then puts it on a mizbeach outside. Patur, your patur over there, shechat bachutz. On the other hand, if you shecht in a bird outside the Mikdash, umaleh bachutz, and then put on a mizbeach bachutz, chayav. Then you are chayav. So this undermines Rabbi Yochanan's kal v'chomer. Over here you see a bird that shechted bachutz, and then put on the mizbeach, chayav. A bird that is shechted bifnim, and then maleh bachutz, patur. So how come? Why don't you say that it's no worse? If you could shecht it bachutz and it's pasul, then when you shechted bifnim it's pasul, why should that be any worse? And when you're maleh bachutz, you should be chayav. You see that the Braita does not subscribe to this logic of Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore the Gemara says, Tiyufta. That's a strong refutation of Rabbi Yochanan's position. Tosfot asks over here, why is this necessarily a Tiyufta on the position of Rabbi Yochanan? He could just say, hold like Rabbi Shimon. And according to Rabbi Shimon, Shechita Balayla, Imalu Lo Yerdu, it won't come off the Mizbeach, and that's why you're Chayav Bachutz. The Baal Tosfot say that's because if it was Rabbi Shimon, you wouldn't need the Kal V'Chomer. You wouldn't use the Lo Tei Pechuta Mishachet Bachutz Maleh Bachutz. You don't need that reasoning in order to be Chayav. You're chayav because imalu lo yerdu. The fact that that's not the reason that Rabbi Yochanan gives clearly makes it that Rabbi Yochanan is not following that position of Rabbi Shimon, and he's saying this within Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why the Gemara brings it as a tiyufta, because now we see by oath that what Rabbi Yochanan is proposing within Rabbi Yehuda by Shechitat Behema, we see by oath that the Braita does not accept that reasoning or that logic. Ibaitema, some say that it's not really a tiyufta, because Shechitat Ha'of Bifnim Miktal Katle. You shecht an oaf in the Mikdash, you are killing it. You're not doing anything that is resembling Shechita. That is because in the Mikdash, with regard to Kodashim, Mlika is the only functional way to bring a Korban oaf by Mikdash. And then Shechita of Chulin, Bifnim, is not relevant. So the world of Shechita does not apply to inside the Mikdash whatsoever. That means when you do Shechita on an oaf Bifnim, it's the equivalent of you popping its head off or ripping it apart, killing it in any other way. It's not shrita. It's nothing. Because it's nothing, that's why when you're maleh bachutz, it has no relevance because you didn't do a shrita on it. At least if you did shrita bachutz, there is relevance to shrita. Because shrita chulin bachutz is a good way to deal with an oaf. So then when you did shrita bachutz and then maleh bachutz, then you're going to be chayav. But if you do shrita bifnim, where there's no manifestation whatsoever of shrita bifnim, that's the equivalent of just killing it. And then if you just kill it, and Malei Bachutz, there's not going to be Chayav for it.
Or the way that the Shita Mekubetzet explains it in Ot Chavav, Laila Shepsul Machmat Davar Acheru. When it comes to night, the psul is an exogenous psul. On the other hand, the psul by oath is an inherent psul in the oath, because there's no such concept as shchita by oath. By kodeshim, there is a din of shchita, just not shchita at night. By oath, there's no din of shchita, and therefore what you're doing over there is ktila, and not something shayach, the kodeshim.
So that's a way, ibaitema, to get out of the problem for Rabbi Yochanan and be able to explain why that breita is not refutation of Rabbi Yochanan's position with regards to Shochei Pehima Balayla Bifnim, because Shechita is relevant in the Mikdash. It just happens to be you did it at night here. So there's no relevance of Avoda at night, but there is relevance of Shechita, and that Shechita will be good enough that if you're Malei Bachutz, you are going to be Chayav for that. Alright, we're going to stop here. Six lines down on the top of Pehei Amud Aleph.